from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to say, well, I'm not going to say that it's warm in London today. I couldn't in good conscience say that. It's not Boston cold. It's not, you know, Minneapolis cold, but it's not warm. However, in fairness to the old gray city, I have to say, for many periods today, there were fluffy white clouds, there was blue sky, and there was the appearance of an orb which Brits of my acquaintance are hard put to remember the name of, a golden orb. So, London, come for the sun, stay for the horse meat. It's this country is riven right now by a scandal involving horse meat, so dramatic, so wide ranging, that the largest British supermarket chain took out 2-page ads. I didn't know they had those anymore. I don't know they had pages anymore in newspapers, in all the Sunday newspapers, to say, not only are we not going to do what we've been doing with beef, we're going to straighten out our chicken. Nobody had been pointing fingers at their chicken or chicken feet at them. But no, we're going to straighten out the chicken too. So it's put a scare, horse puts a scare into people here, I guess. You know, it's really clear in the British mindset. We want to bet on them. We don't want to eat them. So, but there, it is just spreading faster than you'd believe. There is an apology in today's Apologies of the Week regarding another place where horse meat has turned up. And I'll just give you a clue. Their slogan used to be Run for the Border, which I never understood. I thought, what a bad set of implications to have connected to Mexican food. The word run in the slogan. But that's just me. Ladies and gentlemen, the new F-bomb. Foreclosure. The judges are getting wise. The judges are getting hip. The judges are figuring it out. The State Supreme Court of Washington this week ruled that one of the West Coast major players in the foreclosure industry, they were planning it. They were players. Violated Washington State's consumer protection law. How? By faking notarized legal documents is all. Now, you know, notary publics, they're not high on the list of distinguished officials, but they got that stamp and they got that seal. And that's really, you know, that's their credibility. So why not fake that? And also, the bank in question didn't consider requests to delay the auction of a home in the Seattle area. The bank in question is WaMu, Washington Mutual, a notorious bank owned now by Bank of America or J.P. Morgan or one of the other remaining banks. Anyway, the court overruled an appeals court's decision and instructed a lower court judge to issue an injunction against foreclosure trustee, Quality Loan Service. Yes, their name is Quality. It doesn't say high quality. It just says Quality. Quality has demonstrated, quote, little understanding or regard for Washington's law, wrote Justice Tom Chambers. Not Tom Chambers from the Sonics. No. Foreclosure trustees are not simply agents for the lender, the court wrote. The power to sell another person's property, often the family home itself, is a tremendous power to vest in anyone's hands. Or was he with the Sons? Chambers wrote. The law requires the trustees to be even-handed to both sides and to strictly follow the law. In 2008, a nonprofit group sued WaMu and Quality Loan for allegedly violating the consumer protection law after the trustee, Quality Loan, sold a house at foreclosure auction for a dollar more than the $83,000 a disabled woman, senior woman, owed, stripping her of more than $150,000 in equity. The property's new owners immediately flipped it, selling it for $235,000. The woman died in 2008. That would be shortly thereafter. At the age of 76, she owed WaMu about $75,000 at the time. She developed dementia and had a guardian appointed, the cost of her medical care ate up the funds that she was using to pay the mortgage. This is a warm-hearted story, isn't it? WAMU. Quality falsely notarized the date on the notice of trustee sale. Hey, here's a stamp that looks like a notary stamp. Let's just... Apparently trained its notaries to do this regularly from 2004 to 2007. Is this something the federal government forced them to do? I don't think so. Had the notice of sale been correctly dated, the foreclosure auction would have been delayed at least a week, the court said. A signed notarization is the ultimate assurance upon which the whole world is entitled to reply that the proper person signed a document on the stated day and place, Justice Chambers said. And he had a great long-range jump shot, Tom Chambers. So, I guess you can't be your own notary, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bad news and the good news from Hello, Welcome to the Show. From just off Leicester Square in London, England. You know Leicester Square. It's the one named after Leicester. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, let's follow the dollar. Last summer, with organizers struggling to raise enough money for the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, party planners turned to Duke Energy, not a guy, a company headquartered in Charlotte, for help. Duke, the nation's largest electric utility company, stepped up with a $10 million loan, a line of credit for the convention. Organizers insisted Duke would be repaid after the convention. A Duke Energy official told the Charlotte Observer this week, Democratic officials will not repay the $10 million they owe the company. Instead, Duke Energy will write off the loan as a business expense. Now, when they do that, ladies and gentlemen, you know who's really paying for it? You and me. If they're writing it off their taxes, somebody else is paying the taxes that they're not paying for because they wrote it off. Shareholders are expected to absorb $6 million of the cost of the loan, so we get the other $4 million. In effect, Duke Energy's loan has turned out to be a $10 million contribution to the Democratic Convention. At the end of the day, we'll do our best to get our money, said Duke's CEO last month. But if we don't, it's just a contribution we're making, I think, for the greater good of our community. Yeah. Because they have nothing at stake. They don't have anything they want the administration to rule on. The decision by Democratic organizers not to repay the loan reminds one of the fact that Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chair of the convention, had vowed convention organizers would not accept corporate money. So apparently Duke disincorporated. Quote, we will make this the first convention in history that does not accept any funds from lobbyists, corporations, or political action committees, she had said. Even before the Duke loan became a straight-up donation, reports the Charlotte Observer, various convention committees revealed, holy mackerel, they had accepted corporate money. I'm going to have to sit down. Oh, wait, I am sitting down. One committee took in at least $5 million in corporate money to rent Charlotte's Time Warner Cable Arena. That's the arena where they just need to know if you'll be home next Tuesday between 8 and 5. And $1 million more in in-kind contributions from AT&T, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, Microsoft, and Costco. You know, I don't care if the Democratic Party takes money from Costco. That's okay with me. And more following the dollar, the Sierra Club, one of the oldest and most trusted environmental groups in the United States, has admitted that from 2007 to 2010, it accepted donations totaling $25 million from the natural gas industry, mostly from the CEO of Chesapeake Energy, whose website calls it America's champion of natural gas. Longtime Sierra Club executive director Carl Pope made appearances with the CEO to promote natural gas without revealing the donations. At the time, the Sierra Club advocated the increased use of natural gas to replace coal in generating electricity, as burning gas creates much less greenhouse gas and particulate emissions, and coal ash has contaminated water in at least 21 states. The only way to get enough gas to replace coal is by the process of hydraulic fracturing or fracking, The problem is, fracking can also contaminate water supplies with various toxic substances, such as methane, or methane, as you say in the States, benzene lead phthalate. Would that be the only word in the English language with a PH and a TH running consecutively? Phthalate? Man, you can't be too near somebody's face when you say that word. Phthalate. Hey, wait! I got a wipe. Nitrate, etc. As the dangers of fracking became more evident and local Sierra Club chapters joined the fight against fracking, the national organization realized its relationship with Chesapeake, a leading fracker, had to be ended. Sierra Club executive director Michael Brune, who took over 3 years ago, says the organization walked away from an additional $30 million in promised donations. Aww. Since then, the Sierra Club has backed away from its support for natural gas and has become increasingly critical of fracking. Wow, it's almost as if the money paid for them to follow the dollar, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of fracking, what the frack? After a petition urging Colorado officials to allow fracking was voted down, an ugly truth emerged. Most of the signatories didn't know their names were on the paper they had supposedly signed. Isn't that nice? The petition was filed by the Colorado Oil and Gas Association and signed by 55 local business owners in the Fort Collins area. At least that's what the lobbyists claimed. After the city's lawmakers voted 5-2 to ban fracking inside city limits last month, three businesses listed among the signatories voiced their curiosity about how their names, in some cases misspelled, ended up on a petition they never supported. Further investigation, this is a report from RT. Okay. So you can judge it accordingly. Further investigation revealed that almost half the signatures were fabricated or signed on behalf of business owners and not their businesses. Some signatories claimed they never endorsed fracking, knew nothing about the petition, or were misled and didn't know they were signing it as an individual. The signatures were collected by EIS Solutions, an energy consulting company based hundreds of miles away in Grand Junction. An EIS Solutions spokesman said the company, quote, went to pains to ask the people if they could speak on behalf of their respective business. Well, the spokesperson for the Colorado Oil and Gas Association said people obviously knew what they were doing when they signed the vote no on the fracking ban petition. The Oil and Gas Association was quick to announce they acknowledged some mistakes in the collection of signatures. In several cases, the Oil and Gas Association was even unable to identify signatories in order to contact them to verify their intentions. The president and CEO of the Oil and Gas Association, in an email to the Fort Collins City Council, says the lobby group now wants to withdraw that petition from the record. Like it didn't happen. But once a petition is part of the public record, it can't be withdrawn or removed, says Rita Harris, deputy city clerk of Fort Collins, Colorado. We're not giving it back. What the frack?
South at Sunday, skies are weeping, dawn is creeping through the blind. South at Sunday, and I'm aching for the night I left behind. South at Sunday, morning after, bass drum beating in my head. Sunday papers talking scandal on a cold side of the bed. For I left a weeping willow, she should be lying on my pillow. If I was in such a hard nose, such a perfect waste of time. Soft at Sunday, and I'm dreaming, and it's all in black and white. Well, I do better, oh, when I'm dreaming, better than I did last night. Sunday, and I'm walking, though the rain is pelting down. As a train goes back to London, I hate to leave this ugly town. For I left a weeping willow, she should be lying on my pillow. If I wasn't such a hard nose, such a perfect waste of time. Soft at Sunday, skies are weeping, and dawn is creeping through the blind. Soft at Sunday, and I'm aching for the night I left behind. For the night I left behind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present Let Us Try, a ballad of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Let us try to stem the tide, to beautify our countryside. We offer you our hand. Let us try.
So in the annals of trying, this is, I think, the end of the story. LSU, Louisiana State University, and an agency of the state of Louisiana now acknowledge they paid Ivor Van Heerden, the former head of the LSU Hurricane Center, $435,000 to settle court claims that LSU had fired him because he went public criticizing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for their culpability in the construction and design of the hurricane protection system that failed catastrophically in 2005. The announcement was made at just after closing hours, 6:11 p.m., one day this week, in an email from the Assistant Commissioner for Policy and Communications in the Louisiana Department of Administration. The payment was provided by the Office of Risk Management. The risk apparently was they violated the academic freedom of a well-known and highly competent professor, apparently. The American Association of University Professors a couple of years ago had already put LSU on notice that they had violated Dr. Van Heerden's academic freedom and did so in a politically biased way, biased in the favor of the Army Corps of Engineers and the federal funds that might flow therefrom. Van Heerden had alleged in his lawsuit that some university officials systematically ended his ability to perform hurricane research and eventually refused to renew his contract. The LSU president and interim chancellor issued a written statement in which he declined to comment on Van Heerden's charges or on the settlement. Van Heerden says, I think we achieved what we wanted. LSU knows it cannot deny academic freedom and get away with it. This wasn't about the money, he says. It was about academic freedom. He says he remains in an interview with the Advocate newspaper. The Advocate newspaper from Baton Rouge and New Orleans. He says he remains convinced that he properly criticized the Corps of Engineers' designs and construction as too shallow to protect New Orleans from hurricane storm surges. Was the allegation worth the loss of his career? Yes, he said immediately. I told my wife within 4 days of Katrina that I'm probably going to lose my job if I continue to tell the truth. She said she would stand by me. His lawyer noted Van Heerden is a native of South Africa. Ivor and his family have a long history of fighting against apartheid, the lawyer said. This is a man of integrity, doesn't back down from a fight. Those levees, Van Heerden says, should never have failed. Over 500,000 people lost everything overnight through no fault of their own. I spoke up on their behalf, unquote. Ivor Van Heerden, who finally has his case behind him. And I guess you've heard that story everywhere in the national media, right? Including the folks who are from New Orleans, who have national anchor positions? Absolutely, as Lance Armstrong would say. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the atom.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Save, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, save, too safe to meet. Save, save, too safe to meet.
Our friend Addy, the atom, is here. You look cold.
I am cold. Spinning to keep warm.
Spinning to keep warm. Good idea. Thyroid. Now, there's a big report that came out this week regarding the health consequences of the Fukushima meltdown disaster so far. And I'll share with you some of the assessments from that study and some of the reactions.
What, are you telling us you're going to do what you're going to do and then you're going to do it?
That's right. I'm filling time. The World Health... Pardon me. The World Health Organization this week released a report saying that the nuclear disaster at Fukushima will cause no observable increases in cancer rates among residents of other countries. So I guess the rest of us can relax. Good night. And a very minimal increased risk of cancer among residents in the vicinity of the power plant. Workers who went in and battled problems at the plant do, in fact, face higher risks of some cancers. But, you know, it's their own fault for going and battling problems. The environmental group Greenpeace immediately condemned the report as being, quote, a political statement to protect the nuclear industry, unquote.
Well, they would, wouldn't they?
Well, but at least one radiation health specialist believes that the report overstates some of the risks.
What is this, on the one hand this, on the other hand that?
Apparently it is. Who, the World Health Organization's assessment of the potential health effects is based on a May 2012 report that estimates the radiation exposure in different locations around the power plant, which released significant amounts of radioactive material. The WHO team of 13 experts estimated the increased lifetime risk of leukemia, thyroid cancer, and female breast cancer for people living in geographical locations ranging from the most affected areas adjacent to the plant to distant parts of the rest of the world. Beyond areas near the plant, radiation doses were below the levels known to produce health effects, according to the report. The report notes that in the two most affected areas of Fukushima, estimated doses in the first year after the disaster range from 12 to 25 millisieverts. For leukemia, the lifetime risks are expected to increase by about 7% over baseline cancer rates in males exposed as infants. For breast cancer, the estimated lifetime risks increase by up to 6% over baseline rates in females exposed as infants, the report concludes. For all solid cancers, the estimated lifetime risks increase by up to 4% over baseline rates in females exposed as infants. And for thyroid cancer, up to around 70% over baseline rates in females exposed as infants. These are relative increases over baseline rates, not absolute risks. A radiation biologist at Japan's National Institute of Radiological Sciences believes the risks are overestimated. He says the dose estimates were based on preliminary data. Actual measurements have shown actual dose levels to be lower. He also says the risk is based on a calculation that assumes 4 months of exposure to radiation in the different zones, but people did get evacuated. Greenpeace, however, believes the doses are greatly underestimated. The WHO report shamelessly downplays the impact of early radioactive releases from the Fukushima disaster on people inside the 20-kilometer evacuation zone who were not able to leave the area quickly, says a statement from Greenpeace's international nuclear expert. The statement says modeling by German nuclear expert Oda Becker.
He does modeling?
Concluded that people inside the 20-kilometer evacuation zone were possibly exposed to hundreds of millisieverts.
Those are very small sieverts.
They are very small sieverts, hence the name. Thyroid gland doses, we said, of internal radiation in year-old infants living within 30 kilometers are well within safety limits, according to the United Nations Committee. Japan insisted warnings by the World Health Organization of a rise in the risk of cancer for people in Fukushima were overblown. Japan's Environment Ministry called on people living in the area to respond calmly to the report, which it said did not reflect, quote, reality. On the other hand, a record concentration of radioactive cesium, I didn't even know them, 5,100 times the government's food safety standard, was detected in a fish caught near the Fuk plant, according to TEPCO. It said the reading of 510,000 becquerels. You're going home with 510,000 becquerels as our champion per kilogram, and the greenling is the highest ever recorded in the utility seafood sampling surveys following the disaster. This was announced late last month. The greenling was caught mid-month in a gill net at the mouth of the plant's port. A rockfish caught a couple days earlier in a cargo net along a wharf produced a reading of 277,000 becquerels. That's our runner-up. TEPCO told the Fisheries Foundation it will step up measures to contain radioactive fish.
Can 'em.
Good way to contain. Good point. That would be a way to contain them. Clean, cheap, safe. Too safe to be clean, to cheap, to safe to meter. Our friend the Atom.
That's it?
That's it.
Done?
Done. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to say the magic word. The word that I don't think I've spoken this word in the month that it's been probably the most spoken word on American broadcast media. Just haven't said it. Just haven't felt the need. But this weekend, it's kicked in. And so I am actually going to say the word sequester. Now, I went and looked it up because I thought the usage was peculiar. Sequester is what you do with a jury when you, you know, slam them in a hotel room and say, you think about OJ for a while. So what is this? Why is this called a sequester? Well, it's Washington speak, of course. Congress can't do anything else, but it can say this word means what we want it to mean. But we are now at a point, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not one of those, a pox on all your houses. Yes, I am. But it's come time to ask oneself, when smart guys do dumb things and then say publicly that the things they're doing are dumb, are they being smart? This is sort of what we're seeing. Now, for those of you who, like, I wish I were, haven't been paying attention to this whole thing. 2 years ago, when the debt ceiling, the national debt ceiling, had been reached, and Congress has to vote to increase the debt ceiling. And, you know, it's become a topic of much, as Jack Kennedy once said, confusement and contention. Used to be done just as, you know, as much thought as you take the pins out of a shirt back from the dry cleaner. Just do it. But now it's a thing. So 2 years ago, when the national debt ceiling had to be raised, the decision was made, and there's an argument back and forth about, well, it was the White House. No, it was the Congress. No, it was the Republicans. No, it was the Democrats. Anyway, they decided that they would hold a gun to the head of a future Congress, that is the current Congress, to force them to make a budget deal, to be serious grown-ups, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it means when you ignore the fact that the United States government isn't running out of money because it prints it. Then you get called a serious grown-up. So the serious grown-up thing to do was to try to scare the Congress 2 years hence. To scare the Congress by saying, if you don't get serious and be a grown-up and pass a new plan for cutting the deficit, these spending cuts will go into effect automatically. And somehow that got called the sequester, or the sequestration. Sequestration is the noun, for God's sake. For God's sake. Anyway, so that's what's happened. This, now, whenever you hear a politician say, we're going to pass a resolution that binds the Congress for a balanced budget within 10 years, we're going to bind the Congress to do... They can't bind the Congress. They can't bind another Congress. They can't even scare the next Congress. Congress can do whatever it wants. So they turned out not to be scared by the thing that was supposed to be the gun pointed at their head. They went, ooh, a gun. How American of them. So their airwaves and the print media have been filled with imprecations, predictions, finger pointing. I think people in Washington have had to grow extra fingers just for all the pointing. And we're in it. Whatever it's going to do, we're soaking in it.
Good way to fill up TV screens. Who the heck knows what?
Nasty question.
Give the love, the impossible.
You can find yourself inside someone else and see who you are. Give the love. All the emptiness is felt till it bursts, releasing the curse for better or worse. So yeah, you took me.
This is LeShow, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Deadline Kunming, China. A Chinese mining executive and government official has apologized for going berserk at an airport after he and his family missed a flight. Yan Ling Kun's actions last month were captured by security cameras at the Kunming Changshui Airport. The videotape shows him picking up a metal stand and trying to smash the glass doors leading to the boarding area. When he was unable to break the glass, he smashed the counter at the gate. Good security, babe. Three security guards watched without taking action, as a matter of fact. Another passenger finally intervened and persuaded Yan to calm down. He's a member of a government advisory board in Yunnan Province. He told Shanghai Daily he had not behaved well. I failed to be a qualified political advisor as well as a good father, he said. He also apologized to the airport and offered to pay for any damage. He was suspended from his job. Amazon has been forced to take action after it was found to be selling T-shirts with slogans promoting rape and violence on its website. The American clothing company's Solid Gold Bomb blamed an automated computer dictionary for its series of the items, emblazoned with phrases such as, quote, keep calm and rape a lot, and, quote, keep calm and hit her, unquote, based on the much-reproduced English Second World War poster slogan, keep calm and carry on. The companies were bombarded with complaints, and Solid Gold Bomb later closed its Twitter account. That'll fix it. T-shirts were still on sale in Germany as of yesterday, but that's Germany. One of the slogans was taken down, but others, including keep calm and knife her and keep calm and punch her, remained on the website on Saturday afternoon. The company says they're in a deletion queue. Amazon deleted most of the offensive keep calm series, but continued to promote the company's shop. The Solid Gold Bomb said the graphics for the T-shirts were the result of a scripted computer process which used an algorithm to generate hundreds of slogans. Solid Gold Bomb said it was doing its best to fix the problem on its website. It didn't explain how it set up such a program without considering what words might be included. It had received death threats. It closed its Facebook account on Saturday morning, too. Any offensive items are in the deletion queue, they said. We accept the responsibility of the error and are doing our best to correct the issues at hand. We're sorry for the ill feeling this has caused. And that apology was written by an automated computer dictionary. A top Boeing company official apologized this week to Japan's leading airlines for the grounding of the 787 Dreamliner, now renamed the Nightmare Nightliner. Well, screw that up. Roy Comer, the head of Boeing's commercial airplanes division, is on a whirlwind tour of Japan, apologizing for continuing problems with the Dreamliner, now renamed the Nightmare Liner. See? His first stop was all Nippon Airways. I'm sorry. It was one of that airline's 787s that was forced to make an emergency landing because of a lithium-ion battery problem. Comer. On behalf of Boeing and the 170,000 people he represents, he said the incidents that led to the grounding of the entire fleet has been deeply regretful. The incidents have been regretful. I want to first apologize for the fact we've had two incidents with our two very precious customers, all Nippon and Japan Airlines, he said, kissing the high knees of his customers. A school in Illinois has apologized to a 14-year-old student who was forced to change a shirt that featured the Marines logo and an image of two crossed M16 rifles. Michael McIntyre's teacher, Karen Deverell, asked him to wear the shirt inside out or face suspension, according to the Christian Science Monitor. Deverell said the shirt's pictures of guns violated the school's dress code. Oh, but wait. They're Marine guns. School district officials who have subsequently apologized to McIntyre say that's not the case. The dress code does forbid violent imagery and anything related to gangs, but the armed forces are okay. The CEO of the satirical news outlet The Onion, Steve Hanna, has issued a rare apology this week, writing on Facebook that no person should be subjected to the sort of senseless, humorless comment masquerading as satire that The Onion tweeted during the Academy Awards a week ago. On behalf of The Onion, he wrote, I offer my personal apology to Kuvenjane Wallace, the 9-year-old who starred in Beasts of the Southern Wild and was the target of the abusive tweet, and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for the tweet that was circulated during the Oscars. It was crude and inoffensive. This is Steve Hanna of The Onion saying it. Not to mention inconsistent with The Onion's commitment to parody and satire, however biting. No person should be subjected to such a senseless, humorless comment masquerading as satire. The tweet was taken down within an hour of publication. We have instituted new and tighter Twitter procedures. Oh, no. No, new and tighter Twitter procedures at The Onion. Imagine what those must be like. To ensure this kind of mistake does not occur again. In addition, we are taking immediate steps to discipline those individuals responsible. Miss Wallace, you are young and talented and deserve better. Sincerely, Steve Hanna, CEO, The Onion. And a satirical Rutgers University publication that has always courted controversy apologized for a story that compared sisters at a sorority to wildebeests and elephants. Since our paper is satirical in nature and no stranger to controversy, it's rare that we apologize for our content, said the editor of the Medium. However, it is the feeling of this editorial board that the article in question merits an apology. It was written in a cruel, debasing manner that does not reflect the values or goals of our organization. Satire is not easy. Bloomberg Businessweek is apologizing for the cover of last week's issue, which has been criticized for its depiction of minorities. Our cover illustration got strong reactions, which we regret, said Josh Tyrangil, the magazine's editor. Our intention was not to incite or offend. If we had to do it over again, we'd do it differently. He apologized. Fox News contributor Tucker Carlson, he one time of the bow tie, has apologized for comments he made about Wiccans, saying he should have left them alone. It was never my intention. I violated one of my basic life rules, which is live and let live. The Wiccans have never bothered me or tried to control my life. I should have left them alone. Sorry. He had said, had spoken out after the University of Missouri issued new guidelines for religious holidays. Quote, any religion whose most sacred day is Halloween, I just can't take seriously, he said. I mean, call me a bigot. He now says, don't call me a bigot. He continued at the time, every Wiccan I've ever known is either a compulsive deep Dungeons and Dragons player or is middle-aged, twice-divorced older woman living in a rural area who works as a midwife. 8 pagan holidays were added to the University of Missouri's holidays guide last fall. Donna Karan, New York, apologized this week for having displayed without permission portraits taken by a New York photographer in its Bangkok shop windows. Didn't pay them, man, the money. A New York assemblyman who at first vigorously defended wearing blackface, an Afro wig, and a basketball jersey to a costume party has apologized, saying he didn't mean to hurt anyone. Democratic Assemblyman Dov Hickand wore the garb at his own party in his home to celebrate Purim. He was home for Purim, for which costumes are commonly part of the celebration. For hours, he was assailed by criticism that he initially dismissed as political correctness to the absurd. But now, I repeat, it was not meant in any way to hurt anyone, and those that were, I'm sorry, that was not my intention. Same guy had criticized the fashion designer John Galliano, who was photographed in New York City dressed as a Hasid with a long jacket and curly sidelocks. He demanded an explanation from Galliano for his costume. Are you mocking us? He asked Galliano in the New York Post. Always a good place to find out if you're being mocked. And Taco Bell, the U.S.-based fast food company, has withdrawn its taco beef products from sale in British and Spanish outlets after finding some beef contained more than 10% horse DNA. In Taco Bell, ladies and gentlemen. Make a real run for the border. Saddle up. The move came as Bird's Eye confirmed that nearly the two ready meals it removed from supermarket shelves as a precaution have proved to have low levels of horse DNA. A spokesperson for Taco Bell said its testing had revealed ingredients from one as yet unnamed supplier in Europe had tested positive for horse meat. We apologize to our customers and take this matter very seriously as food quality is our highest priority. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And apropos, food writer Stephen Gates here in Britain has spent the past few months traveling to far-flung destinations where insects are eaten every day and as delicacies. His journey will feature in a upcoming BBC documentary, Can Eating Insects Save the World, to be broadcast this month. He says such a fare will become the norm in Britain before long. The Dutch have already invested six-figure sums into researching ways of getting caterpillars and locusts into mainstream foods. The cost of beef and lamb is going up and up. Finding enough land to farm animals and meet demand is growing more and more difficult, says Gates. Insects are a healthy, nutritious, and tasty alternative. Many contain as much or more protein as meat or fish. Some insects, especially in the larval stage, are also rich in fat and contain significant percentages of amino acids and essential vitamins and minerals. Added to this, insect rearing requires less space and generates less pollution than livestock. Never happen.
You've waited all year, and now it's back. Earthworm Wednesdays at Outback Bughouse. All your favorite diggers, from night crawlers to day trippers, at prices that'll make you wriggle with joy. Shovel them in, though, because Earthworm Wednesdays last for a limited time only. When they're gone, it's back to the bait shack. So bring the family and the appetite. Earthworm Wednesdays at Outback Bughouse. Dig deep.
Ladies and gentlemen, one other item in the clean safe, keep toothpaste and cleaning file. The governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, said this week that there is no available technology to plug the radiation leaks in the tanks, you're welcome, at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Those radioactive waste tanks may be leaking some 1,000 gallons a year. He said officials are still evaluating how to effectively remove the remaining material from the problematic tanks. Yeah, I'd like to see that. That and the new stricter Twitter strictures at The Onion. I'd like to see both of those things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide. Throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America, by the shortwave giant, WBCQ, the planet, 7.490 megahertz, short wave. On the Mighty 104 in Berlin, on the, well, around the world via the internet at two different locations, as a matter of fact, live and archive whenever you want it, harryshear.com and kcrw.com. Available for your smartphone through Stitcher.com and available as a free podcast through kcrw.com and iTunes, and now available through Sideshow.com as well. And it'd be just like insects for everybody if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. By the way, if you're in New York or Chicago, make it a point to stay tuned for Joe Frank. He's on right after this broadcast. And there's great radio, of course, wherever you are, on all of our fine stations, including our very latest addition to the Le Show Network. We're back in Boise, on Radio Boise. Glad to be back. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii, Chicago and Exile and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. Thanks to Adrian Bodnum. Bodnum? Forgot your last name. But you forgot how I like the board, so we're even. Here at Global Radio in London for help with today's broadcast. This broadcast you'll find on Twitter with no new strictures employed. Still, loose as a long-neck goose. Join the more than 82,000 followers at The Harry Shearer. The email address for this broadcast and the playlist of the music heard hereon, you'll find them at harryshearer.com, along with all of the interviews. Ivor van Heerden's interview, Bob B's interview, John Barry's interview, Maria Garzino's interview to do with the 2005 New Orleans flood. And also up there now, all of the music sessions we've ever had in this broadcast. Right there. How does that happen? Internet magic. And yelling. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from sunny London.